And we bring in our third base coach and the professor, Ron Wotus. Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm doing extremely well after these first two games, and we'll see how we're doing at 5 o'clock today.
Yeah, that's what Tony La Russa used to say. He used to say, Tony, how are you today? He said, ask me in about 4 hours.
Exactly. He still says that when I run into him. He's still using that line. So, you know, there's a lot of truth to that when you're a coach or a manager.
Yeah, no question. Hey, coming in the ballpark today, and, you know, obviously now 34,000 in the stadium. I want to talk to you about that. But they must have loaded up on the rutabaga and the strawberries and the stuff coming in today, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. You're seeing more and more stuff. And it's really great to see all the ushers and the workers. You know, I came in a little later this morning just to try to get a little more rest for this game today. But, yeah, there's a lot of activity in the hallway leading to the clubhouse. It's bustling again. And, you know, it's such a great ballpark, such a great atmosphere here. And just walking in, it's so great to see things getting back to normal. You can say hello to the people on the way in, and, you know, people are things are opening up and getting back to normal.
Well, last night was one of those games. I remember Flan used to say it, you know, they come out of nowhere and all of a sudden you win a game. But last night for me, well, it was a baseball game. Lead changes, plays, obviously we'll chat about the plays at the plate, guys stealing bases, relievers coming in, home runs and stuff like that. Last night was really, I thought, a classic baseball game.
I agree with you, Marty. There was a lot of excitement. You know, you just summed it up very, very well, and I felt the same way, you know, coaching on the side, whether we're calling the throwovers, they had a couple first and third situations. Mm-hmm. They started a runner here and there, the back and forth. And the thing I love about games like that, it was, you know, pretty much a clean game. I think we had one error. But every play is important. Every decision is important. And the players will determine the outcome when you play good baseball by the performance on the field. So it was exciting. And we've talked about it before on your show. But this place was electric. You know, not only is it the Bay Bridge Series, but just people back out doing normal things. I see everywhere I go now that things are opening up, how rabid the fans are and how much they're enjoying the game of baseball. And they had a good one to watch last night, no question.
Well, are you feeling any difference in the wind with the portals open up in right field? I mean, you're looking right at them. Do you feel anything at all?
You know, it's been cold this year is the one thing that I could tell you. You know, on the field, we've had the last two nights, we've had a lot of wind. I don't know if it's because of the portals or not. But I thought last year's summer ball that we played, it was a little milder. And we've had some colder days this year so far. And with that typical, you know, candlestick-esque feel, which is a great home field advantage. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that uncomfortable. I look up in the stands. I see people in T-shirts. I see women in shorts and dresses. So the fans are loving it. But it is the typical San Francisco weather happening right now.
Well, let's get into the game a little bit last night. And first of all, Lamont Wade. Well, this guy, and we did on a pregame show, Mark Simon, he works at Sports Info Solutions, and he said that when Wade gets a mistake in the strike zone, he's hitting 500. He doesn't miss a mistake. And last night, you know, down 1-0, and Wood throws a pitch about 9 miles over the catcher's head, and, you know, he's out of the game. You're down 1-0. And this guy just hits a rocket on an 0-2 pitch and puts you up 2-1. I thought, and here the game started. In other words, here we go. We got a baseball game.
Yeah, you know, he's such a good kid. He's, you know, he's bright-eyed. He wants to learn. He wants to work. He's having a time of his life right now getting this opportunity, and he's taking full advantage of it. You know, we saw in spring training, and that's why Farhan brought him in. You know, he's got a good eye at the plate, a knowledge of the strike zone, and I tip my cap to him and the hitting guys. Looks like he's made some adjustments at the plate where he's getting the bat head out there more than he has in the past. He's taking better swings. And when you have that good eye and plate discipline and you make those adjustments, we're seeing the results of that. The one thing I have to do is I got to get him to calm down on the home run high five slap because he about okay. took my hand off last night. I don't know what it is with the A's. I mean, it was an exciting home run, no question. But Hunter Pence a few years back gave me a high five in Oakland that blew out my rotator cuff. And this kid last night in that cold weather, I couldn't feel my hand for two innings.
Okay. All right. Hey, Duggar. And he's one of my favorite players, I must say. People ask me the question, and you know, he's from Clemson. He's, you know, he's a tough kid, and he had a couple of shoulder separations, and he stayed with it. And I thought in spring training, I said, well, "Boy, maybe he needs a change of scenery because I think he can play." Well, this kid has just played great in center field, but the ball he hit to tie the game up, the one that scored Crawford in the 10th inning, well, that was like a laser. It was a P that he hit right up the middle.
Those are extremely big hits. He did it yesterday, you know, after we didn't get the guy to third base, to drive in that run to tie the game. He did it down in Anaheim in extra innings. He is just getting big hit after big hit, and you're right. I mean, look, there was comparisons to Steve Finley when he was first drafted and in the minor leagues with the Giants, and, you know, he was up, he got injured. But he really never found his stride. And he's been around a little bit. He's lived a little bit. He's getting an opportunity. Another guy that's made some very good adjustments at the plate. We always knew he could play center field, and that's why we're fans of him, because he was our best center fielder, can run the ball down. But the way he's swinging the bat and laying off pitches, he looks like a completely different player right now. And he's a big, big reason why we're having the success that we're having.
Yeah, confident at the plate. He just has that look in his eye. And Wade does too, the two of them. And they've been a big, big, big help here. All right, let's take to the winning run here. Duggar said after the game, he said if he put a stop sign up, there was no way he was stopping. And he said he wasn't even looking. The ball goes down the left field line. It kicks off that little cushion. And Duggar just keeps flying, and he scores the winning run. Great play.
Yeah, well, I think he was a little excited after the game with those comments, but I would have tackled him if he had no chance to score, I think. You know, as the play developed, look, Tony Kemp doesn't have a strong throwing arm. He has one of the weaker arms in the league, so you have that going for you. But what really made the play, and it was a late decision, is the ball hitting the pad and right. kind of dropping still. Then he had to come three or four steps, and it really is a last-minute decision on my part whether to hold him or send him, because there is one out, and you can score him with a fly ball, but you want to get him in if you can. And that extra time it took, those three steps, and where Duggar was at, and the way he can move, it's a third base coach's dream to have somebody that can run like that. When you have a slow guy, it's a much tougher decision. So fortunately for him, he cut the corners good, and that was a pretty good first to home on his part. And it ended up, he ended up scoring, and we ended up winning the game.
He had that look in his eye, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't see his eye too good, but I watched the replays. I was watching the ball more than his eye. But, you know, I could see where he was at when he was coming around third and when Kemp picked up the ball. It just happened that, you know, I felt good that he was going to go ahead and score. And the excitement that followed there was fantastic, because the previous inning, right, we had the guy thrown out. I know you may want to ask about that play,
yeah.
Which is something that we've done in the past, but it was a big win.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, the ninth inning, another exciting moment for everybody, and that's why you go to the games. I mean, let's face it, this is where everything unfolds slowly. You see it almost in slow motion. And you take those images home. And I take the image home from last night in the ninth inning of Chapman throwing just a laser to the plate. And Kemp doesn't have the big arm. And Chapman throws Wade out at the plate. What happened?
Well, you have two outs. And, you know, Kemp doesn't throw well, although he was really, really shallow. But I would say every third base coach in the league is going to make Kemp throw you out. And what made the play was, they did something that we didn't see them do before, And I don't know if it was a design play. I really don't think it was, because I didn't see any on video. If Kemp tries to throw that ball all the way to the plate, Lamont's got a real good chance of scoring with two outs, and you have to make him throw you out because of the reports and the way he throws. But he did something that we used to do with Boach when he was here, and we had Dave Roberts in left field. We called it the bonsai play. You know, it's been done in Japan for years. And what the outfielders do, the way we set it up, is we'd have the left fielder who didn't have a strong arm fire the ball right to Crawford that's on the dirt. You know, depending how deep the outfielder is, he could be, you know, at his deep shortstop position, he could be like a double play depth. But instead of that weak arm trying to throw the ball all the way in, it's a quick relay to the infielder. It's usually the cutoff man is, you know, down by the mound, like a lot deeper. And they did the same thing and got that ball in Chapman's arm. And of course, the rocket he has, you know, they had Wade easily. But it was a play I didn't anticipate because we hadn't seen it. And they pulled it off, and it was a big play to save the game at that point.
Yeah, no, outstanding play. And Chapman obviously is a platinum glove winner, whatever. You know, he was the best fielder in the American League. So didn't shock me. We've seen Crawford do it, as you point out. And I remember some of the outfielders, and Johnny Damon didn't have a good arm in center field. And the infielder would go out halfway to get the ball. I've seen that before.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's a design play. And again, maybe the A's didn't. We just didn't have the video on it, but we didn't see it. I didn't know that that existed. You're going off his arm strength and where he's at. Now, he's going to have a shot. Even if he threw it all the way, he had a shot. But with two outs in that situation, with a good runner, you got to make him throw him out. And once he got the ball on a line to Chapman, and, you know, then they executed the play. But you're right, Johnny Damon, we did it with Dave Roberts, and it's a good way to set up that relay. Even for, you know, high school, college people that they don't have that strong arm, just a quick relay like the Japanese have done for years, and the ball gets to home a lot quicker.
Well, what do you think of Ohtani and the matchup with Gausman? Did that live up to it for you?
Well, there's a lot of hype around Ohtani. I thought Gausman was outstanding, as usual. I hadn't seen Ohtani pitch up and close before. You know, the thing that really struck me is he was pitching around 93, 94 early in the game. And I go, huh, you know, I heard this guy touches 100 and does this. And he had a good split, and he threw more sliders. You know, he really mixed his pitches good, had good location. But what struck me was late in the game, when the game was on the line, he was touching 97, 98 on his fastball. So I guess he had more in the tank. And that was another fun game to be involved with, and it was a great matchup, and it was nice to come on top on that one too.
Absolutely, you know, that was one Ruff made the play to the plate, and I think Kapler said during the week that Ruff sort of double clutched it a little bit and threw to the plate, but he didn't throw it low. He made it where you want it, where, you know, right up where Posey could make the tag beautifully. That was a huge play.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, watching the replay, when the, you know, it really is important what call is made on the field by the umpire. I know we have replay, but as we all know, if they call him safe and it's inconclusive because they don't have the right angle, well, he's going to be safe. So I was a little surprised that we were able to get that call overturned. They must have had an angle, because on the scoreboard, looking at it, you know, there was a lot of dirt, a lot of dust, and you couldn't see it as clear as obviously they could with their different angles over there in New York. So a big call, and I was not confident that that was going to get overturned.
Well, unfortunate turn of events with Belt when he got hurt, but he bunts to get on, and he's starting to do that more often. And then he goes first to third. He's chugging along, and the throw hits him, and he tries to score. That was just an unfortunate circumstance with Belt.
Yeah, it was. You know, we talked about it after, and he feels bad. He was going to go into a slide. I was telling him the slide, and he tried to stay on his feet because he saw the ball go by, and that's when he ended up, you know, hurting his knee. It was a little bit awkward. You know, anytime you're already thinking about sliding and you almost start it. You want to get down and slide. If you got to pop up and continue, you do it. But he tried to stay on his feet, and that's where he twisted his knee and hurt himself. And, of course, then, you know, even though he's in pain, he sees a ball get by, and instinctively he just took off for home. And he was out, and, you know, we're really going to miss him. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some better news here. They're getting more reports on his knee, some other doctors. I know he was feeling a little better yesterday in the clubhouse, which is encouraging because the first day or two he was feeling really awful. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we may get some good news with him, and maybe it won't be as long as it possibly could be for him being out.
Oh, good. Hey, Bill, jump in here as we wrap it up with Woe. I know Woe's got to get to work soon.
Yeah, I wanted to say good morning, Ron, and I know you're not feeling well today, and we appreciate your time, but I wanted fans to know that, and I wanted fans to understand you're not imitating Lou Rawls this morning.
Well, Bill, I appreciate it. Like Flan used to say, we train for this. You know, you've been doing it since high school, and this is just part of the gig, but you're right. We got a few guys under the weather. I think we got the Correa virus, the Kai Correa virus. He came down sick, and a few of us are fighting these colds, but that's all part of it. We'll be fine.
Just a real quick question here. Kirk Cassell striking out four times. Fans were on him. They continue to stay on him. He's grinding at bats. It looked like he hurt his back on one of the strikeouts. He kind of limped back. But for him to get the game-winning hit to turn those fans back onto the positive with him, how'd you feel when he ended up getting that double down the line?
Yeah, Bill, I think everybody is pulling for Kurt. You know, he does such a good job behind the plate. I mean, he's just been unbelievable calling the game and working back there with these pitchers. And, you know, that's a huge reason for our success, along with Buster handling this pitching staff and the way we're pitching. That's such a big plus. And, you know, he didn't get off to a good start. He had the, you know, hand thing. They went on the DL, and he's getting big hits. And I think that's, you know, the reason we have 50 wins. We're getting big hits from everybody. And to your point, Kurt just grinds it out, and I'm so happy for him to get that game winner, because you need those moments when you're hitting under 200 and you're not doing your best. You need moments like that to get your confidence back and keep you going.
Hey, well, a quick question for you, and I don't know if it's answerable or not, but do the A's remind you of any National League team? Because these are tough games with the A's, and they work the count, they take pitches. Bob Melvin is an aggressive manager. Do the A's remind you of anyone in the National League?
Nobody comes to mind, but I think to your point is, you know, they're a well-coached team. You know, Bo Mel does a great job in his coaching staff, and anytime you play the A's, you have to be on top of your game. I mean, they grind, they hustle, and that's a mark of a good manager and coaching staff. And my hat's off to them. Nobody comes to mind on that question, but they're a very good team, or they play hard. When I say they're a good team, I mean, you look around, you look at their personnel, and I don't see them all that much, but they don't look like a juggernaut by any means, and here they are. They're always well above 500 and competing for the division.
Yeah, I hate to say it. It's like the Dodgers for me. You just know you're going to be in a game every time you play them.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, that did shoot to the back of my mind. I held off on saying it, but that's the one team. I was thinking, but I'm really not sure. I'd have to see him a little bit more. So, but they're always in it. No doubt about it, Marty.
All right. Hey, you know, I was thinking about River Islands today. And, you know, when I grew up, we had transistor radios. And, you know, growing up in Brooklyn or even in Miami, and, you know, we'd always be listening to a ball game. If we went to the beach, we'd have a radio at the beach listening to a ball game. And I was thinking about River Islands and with the trails and the kayaks and everything. What summer at River Islands has got to be beautiful with baseball.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, whether you're, having lunch or sitting at one of those two lakes, or you're going for a walk and you have your ear pods in and you're listening to the game. What a great way to enjoy your neighborhood out there in River Islands. And, you know, the other thing is technology has come a lot further than the transistor radio, right, Marty? So the nice thing now is you can go online and you can do a virtual tour of all the homes that they have there. So when you do go out in person, you already have a good feel of, you know, what area, what lake you want to be on, what home you want to view personally. So they have so much to offer. And I'm glad you brought up the transistor radio, because I think there's a lot of listeners that enjoyed that when they were growing up just as much as you do listening to ball games.
Well, I still have one, and if I ever go out to River Islands and get a kayak, I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen to a ball game in the kayak. That's my goal for next summer.
I like it. That sounds good. I wouldn't mind that myself.
All right. All right, well, take care of yourself, huh?
And get have well, a good, Ron.
Yeah, have a good day today, and we'll talk to you next. July 4th is next Sunday, so down here in Arizona, it's going to be hot, so I'll talk to you, but main thing is take care of yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks. Great being with you.
All right. That is the third base coach. Bill, that was a good comparison. Lou Rawls, I like that.
Well, I like kidding with Ron, and, you know, and I tell you, Marty, when you come to the ballpark and you're not feeling well, it's just difficult to get the uniform on and get it going, but you're grinding, and he's a grinder, you know that, 20-some years as a coach, and there's nothing stopping him. And especially with the team, the way they're playing, he's excited, and hopefully he'll get better.
Yeah, and he doesn't shy away from any tough questions. That's what I love about Woe, is that when he comes on, you can ask him anything, and he's going to answer you. So good stuff. Very mm-hmm. good. All right, we'll take a break. Bruce Jenkins is next on this Sunday morning. A's and Giants, as Bip said, it's tough to sweep a major league team, but the Giants are going to try with Sammy Long today against Cole Irvin. So more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the Sports Leader.